realize that God is with us all the time. We're going to rejoicing in the goodness of God. I've got it, Peter, at this point. Reminding you again, just this little fawn reminds me of innocence and the charm, the way these animals speak to us always. I don't know if you have a favorite animal when you go to the zoo. But kind of the thing that brings joy is you think about an elephant. You know, an elephant is a big plodding animal. It's very large. But if you put them into water, they know how to swim. An elephant nearly knows how to swim. It's amazing. A cousin of mine is traveling in Sicily, and he showed a picture of the central city square where there's a big tower. It's built on the back of an elephant. It's called the Elephant Square. I don't know why. But an elephant in the middle of the square, it just looks like fun. Brings joy to the heart. That is part of the blessing of these animals. That's why I had them featured. But as we go on to think about the goodness of God, we want to remember that the Lord's great goodness is why we have any blessing at all. Our goodness seems to always get tainted or turn ugly, like going into rack and ruin, like this old castle leaning over on its side, used to see better days. Things get tainted. Things get turned to darkness because of the world and its fallenness and the sin that's in the world. But the Lord's goodness is pure and undefiled. And that text reminds us, taste and see that the Lord is good. He brings his goodness in the midst of the world to bring that purity and that cleanliness and that beauty back in. The crucial difference for us in our need for God's good is our need for God's goodness to intervene. We need God's goodness to help us. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalm 145, verse 9. Because of that tender mercy of the Lord and his goodness pouring into the world, we are not overcome. We are able to push our way through. And even though you sometimes get a cascade of troubles upon you, Peter Knapp was describing that in his household this week, God's goodness comes through. Provision of a new car, the refrigerator starts working again. Eventually, things turn around for you because he's always at work. And one part of God's goodness is directly connected to love. Goodness and love go right together. The love of God and our love for him in return and for one another flows from the goodness of God found in his love. God pours out his love and his goodness. He pours out his love into our hearts that this goodness might then flow out to others, this love. His loving us and our loving one another is part of him bringing his goodness into the world. The problem is that this world can drive all goodness away. Jesus was pointing to this when he gave us this text. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He does not care for bringing a blessing. One of the things the thief brought, he came and stole Hillary's accordion out of that corner. A thief came into our church in October last year. Accordion's gone. That was an instrument that brought blessing to people. But the Lord promises he's come that we may have life and have it abundantly. So that even though the world can drive all goodness away, the Lord is at work. The world provides us a person who takes delight in pain and destruction of others. And we don't understand why. We don't understand where that badness, that darkness comes from. Who can be possibly reveling in the downfall of others except someone whose heart has gone dark, whose mind has become self-centered, who has been sold out to some force other than God himself? We come to church to worship the Lord. We come to taste and see that the goodness of the Lord is good. And we worship him because his goodness is constantly transforming us into our best selves. He is always at work with his goodness, transforming us into who Jesus is. That's where we're directed to. He is our model. He is our example. But he's also the one who's released the power of the Holy Spirit into us to transform us, that we can become more like him. Do we not all want that as our believers on the journey of faith? Do we not all aspire to this transformation? It is released to us because of God's goodness. Let us pray for a moment. Dear Lord, thank you that we can turn to your word, which reminds us in many places about your goodness and how fundamental and important it is to our lives. May you help us in this reflection on your goodness, and may you bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And in reading the word, I'm going to have help from Zanari. No, Jenry. Jenry, please come. Sorry, Zanari, you can do it next time. Jenry. Jenry's got a
Second Peter 1, verse 1 through 5. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 145, verse 3, 4, and 7. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
Peter, I'm going to switch to this mic. Okay. Turn this one off. I'm going to put it down for you. Later for Yuko. Good. So you see the goodness coming through in the themes of these texts. In 2 Peter, he's talking about the goodness of the Lord. He's talking about through his own glory and his goodness. We think of God's glory, I think, quite easily, but sometimes overlook goodness. Goodness disappears into the woodwork. But Psalm 23 says, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. So there's goodness and love, goodness and glory. And then this Psalm 145 says, we the people of God are celebrating God's abundant goodness and joyfully singing of his righteousness. That goodness is a quality and wonderful theme in Scripture. And we can certainly learn a lot about God by reflecting on characters in the Bible. I got this wonderful slides for kids, really, but it's beautiful in the sense that it lays out a whole bunch of characters: Daniel, Joseph, Mary, Jonah, old Jacob, Joseph, Delilah, Samson, Zacchaeus, Mary Magdalene, Goliath, Sadducee, priest, soldier, David, good Samaritans. The Bible's filled with characters, and we've been looking at them, looking at Abraham. You can look at Isaac, Jacob, Elijah, and Elisha, the prophets, David, Solomon, and Josiah, kings of Israel and Judah, and many more. The Bible's filled with characters that we can learn from. God chooses to move in history through people of faith. And when I say that, I'm not just pointing back to the old characters of the Bible, but I'm pointing to you and me. We are people of faith. We are important
to how God is working with his goodness in the world because of our belief and our obedience. Our belief and our obedience matter. They make the difference in the world. Part of that is coming here and gathering together with the family of God here on this Lord's Day to rejoice in the goodness of God. As the young people were so good at helping us. He is always good, in spite of the circumstances. And the Lord's goodness endures forever. So our worship here together builds the possibility of God's love in our world. When we come and say, "This is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it," from Psalm 118, this is what we are doing, gathering together, emphasizing the goodness of the Lord. And we come together to bring delight to God as we lift up our prayers and our thanksgivings to him. God delights in what we're doing. But another way to learn about God is not just looking at the characters of the Bible, but looking at some of his attributes. And I'm going to talk about attributes in a second, but this is us. God loved the world by having us come together, by being part of it. And I want to talk a moment about his attributes, but I had another verse here. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. The attributes of God include goodness. You see good just above attribute, but there are many other attributes. They're all there. You can study them. He's eternal, faithful, loving, infallible, all-powerful, but he is also good. He's provider, trustworthy, forgiving, impeccable. I mean, this God is great. He's awesome. He's an awesome God, full of glory, but he's also full of goodness. And lifting up one of these attributes, like goodness, and focusing in on it helps us understand how it's being released into our world. In God taking delight in our worship of him, and in our singing about them this morning, and in understanding that the goodness of God is a major, major theme for him. Where would our world be without the goodness of God? We human beings love to experience refreshment, rejuvenation, revival, and rejoicing. God loves these things too, so he has built them into the world. And this is the phrase that says it. In the presence of God, we are continually renewed, rejuvenated, and refreshed. That's part of the goodness of God, our coming together and celebrating and sharing together in what he is doing. But another part of the journey in experiencing the goodness of God is that we share with each other. We share our stories, our journeys, our discoveries, and our accomplishments, because by sharing and telling these stories, we are encouraged, and that's part of the goodness of God. We experience the goodness of the Father with one another, and we want to share it with each other, and that begins to build goodness, and it begins to allow love to flow. It begins to allow the love of God to be manifest and made present and evident among us. Also, when we come together to lift up the name of the Lord as a people of God, we begin to share sorrows. We have our prayer time, and we're lifting up tragedies and ordeals and struggles. When we do that, sharing that together, it helps us to find meaning by having others know what we're going through. Help us find meaning as we remember that God is loving and that he is good. It's part of the goodness of God. God gives these things to us as gifts, the gift of worshiping together, of coming to celebrate him, of remembering what Psalm 145 says, "Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." And that is what we do as we come and rejoice with one another and mourn with one another. The goodness of God is in contrast to the depravity of our human race. This text here remembers us, though he brings grief, he shows compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love. Lamentations 3:32. That even though we come into deep places where maybe the depravity overwhelms us or the tragedies overwhelm us, the unfailing love of our God lifts us up again. We look at our world, and it's not easy to say God is good, because there are bad things that do happen. When I look at the world, I can see exploitation of the innocent, the manipulation of the vulnerable, and the oppression of the powerless. For example, I ministered previously to seniors, and I had one lady, she was turning 90, by 88, 89. She was beginning to lose her memory. She lived her single her whole life, very competent and very able social worker. She was very bright. She loved to volunteer in the community. She was fully in control of her faculties until she began to lose her memory. And then eventually, in the midst of COVID, quite lonely time, somebody on the phone got a hold of her. And it was a scam artist from the state of Idaho, of all places. Wasn't even a foreign country. She lived in Michigan. They were in Idaho. They were able to convince her to begin going and sending checks to them, where she began losing thousands of dollars from her bank account. And she just didn't have the facility to judge how to say that's a scam and that's, you know, there's something there, an urgency about it that made her react. And the people, there was a person responsible in her life who realized something bad was happening. So they went to the bank and they said, "You're not to cash these checks. Close this account. We'll open a new account. Try to protect her." Well, the scam artist got on the phone again and they convinced her and told her how to go to the bank and open up her account and get more money from her. So that's awful. And I say, like, that's the exploitation of the innocent. It's the manipulation of the vulnerable and the oppression of the powerless. And it's going on every day. It's an epidemic across the country. And I used to live in the city of Montreal. And one of the things Montreal specialized in was many things. A multilingual city. It was a first-class city. Used to hold the Olympics. One of the other things they had was a lot of phone scammers. They would get in a room and they would start calling people in numbers all across North America. And they were quite effective at it. So looking at that, we say, "What, God, where is your goodness?" And we need God to pour his goodness into the world to offset the stain, the things that spoil, the things that take away goodness. And we need to remember that the goodness of the Lord endures forever. So on another story of another lady, we here in the church prayed for someone named Charity. Charity was associated with PIU, and her husband worked for TWR. And unfortunately, one night, she was driving in the middle of the night, late in the morning, and she crashed her car into another car, and she had fallen asleep at the wheel, and it killed the other driver died. And the judge's decision was she had to go spend 4 months in the Department of Corrections. And we prayed for her, and we were fearful for her, wondering how it was going to turn out. She's going to have to go into the prison. Spend 4 months there. It's going to be awful. Well, I saw her about a week ago. She's working again at Sita's place at SureStay Hotel. She's at the desk. She's competent and confident, and she's saying, "You know, Pastor Frank, I know you were praying for me. I remember that you and your church were praying for me, and that's really helped because I experienced God's mercy and his grace even while I was in prison in my 4 months. I want to go back there and visit because the Lord gave me ministry to do to help others who are there." And she's come through it in a way you can see the abundant goodness of the Lord, that she has grace in her life and she has been able to overcome that terrible circumstance. And God has pulled her through and shown again that his love is everlasting. And because God's goodness to our world is making it built on love, we have the constant source of the Lord bringing us more kindness, an endless supply of compassion. He builds into us deep wells of sharing and generosity, and a surplus of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And because he's doing these things, we have an overflowing fountain of goodness, always coming from the Lord, from the power of his Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Lord is proving time and again to us that the world is not built on lies, manipulation, oppression, cruelty, selfishness, greed, my way or the highway. These are all negated and overwhelmed by the goodness of our God. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Psalm 100, verse 5. Our understanding of this essential attribute of the goodness of God means we know that God means to infuse our world with a whole new ethic and a frame of mind through his people of faith. You know, it's the principle of incarnation. It's a wonderful word, incarnation. You know, we celebrated at Christmas the incarnation of Jesus, the man from heaven who comes to be a man among us. And what God does with his goodness is he is incarnating it into the world in which we live through us, the people of faith. Because we celebrate the goodness of God and we are encouraged by the goodness of God, he is bringing through us an incarnation, a representation of his goodness into the world. And so wherever we tread, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, and it could be as simple as going to school, it could be as simple as taking care of your garden, cleaning your house, it can be as simple as enjoying your retirement even. You are still one of those representing the goodness of God. His mercy is everlasting and it's flowing through us. So his love is poured into the world through our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to dwell in our hearts to have us pour that love out into the world in which we live. This is God's work. And this is how now our work too, being good. And that may seem very simple, but it's not. This picture here represents the goodness of God. Jesus tells a story. It's one of his parables. He says, God is good and he knows what you need. He's going to bring you a good gift. He's not going to bring you a scorpion. Open a box and there's a scorpion. Or open the box and there's a snake. Or something that you fear the most. He's not going to do that. Like this father and his daughter. He's going to bring his daughter something good. Whether it's a new iPhone or Nintendo, or you don't know what kids need these days, you know. A good doll, or, you know, something beautiful. Maybe a box of her favorite candy. God knows what we need. And Jesus is just illustrating that our God is good. He's the good Father. And he knows how to give us the best gifts of all so that we are blessed. He tells another story, the parable of the unjust judge. I chose this picture because that looks to me like an unjust judge. He just looks like he's mean. He's not nice. Anyway, she's knocking on his door looking for justice and he won't give it to her and he's not interested in helping her. He's not showing any kindness. He has no mercy. He just doesn't care. He says, go away, and yet she persists and knocks on his door, persists and persists. It's the whole idea of persevering in prayer, asking for the right thing, and the unjust judge doesn't want to do it. And Jesus is using this parable as a contrast. He's not illustrating God. He's illustrating the opposite of God. He's showing us the world builds these terrible people. You know, you may run into them this week. You may run into one of them who's not nice. Not going to be easy on you at all. He's going to cut you off flying in the traffic, you know, speeding, breaking the law. It could be a person who you have to deal with in the DMV or, you know, the taxation or, you know, one of the other government agencies, you know, or somebody on the phone where you're waiting and waiting and waiting, you know, and somebody's not even caring about their work. You may run into them. But God is the opposite, and he's going to try to help us break through those problems and bring a greater measure of goodness and a greater measure of the mercies of the Lord showing through. Because God is good. He is so good. As we were singing this morning, beautifully done, young people, loved what you had to sing. Has brought out the theme of this message, which is just a wonderful one to dwell on. And I'll leave you with this, Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. Let's say that all together. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we could dwell on this attribute of yours as goodness, which is such a powerful thing, and on it is part of the foundation of your love built into the world, that we experience it in our Lord Jesus Christ most fully, and we are experiencing it by the power moving of the Holy Spirit in our singing, in our praying, in our reading of Scripture, in our just being together and putting you at the center, Lord. We are here to give praise to you, and to celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that we may tell of your goodness to one another and from one generation to the next. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life.